Hello, today is Tuesday, July 31st, 2018. I'm Joe Schmidt with EC2, and this is Staying Connected. On today's podcast, we are continuing with our Staying Connected podcast series, Staying Ahead of the Demand for Network Cost Savings. If you've been listening to the podcast, you've already heard us provide some valuable strategies for taking advantage of the latest ICT pricing trends. It's our aim with these podcasts to reveal useful strategies to help enterprises achieve continuous network cost improvement and to deliver world-class network infrastructure. And today's podcast is no exception. I'm joined by Pat Gilpatrick, a project director at TC2, and Mark Sheard, who is TC2 UK's managing director. On today's podcast, what we'll be discussing is why it's so important to competitively source your network infrastructure services. Okay, Pat, let me start with you. Why should enterprises invest in competitive RFPs for their networking infrastructure?
Hi, Joe. Thanks. We do hear that question a lot. It doesn't matter what the service is, whether it's data transport, SIP trunking, mobile, wireless. There's always a question over the value and return of the time and effort involved in going to market. And most of our customers, IT leaders, have a lot on their plate already. They have a full-time job managing the day-to-day operations of the business. And the thought of running an RFP and then possibly having to change vendors because of the RFP can be pretty overwhelming. In addition, the operations side of the house usually feels like the risk of migrating a network far outweighs the cost and effort to do so. And they also tend to think that their current suppliers are giving them a pretty good deal when they can extend or they can award them some new services or they can conduct a rate review. Sometimes even when the supplier's operational performance or service delivery or billing and account support is less than ideal and a source of pain points for the customer, they still have this real tendency to stick with the devil that they know. But unfortunately, we found that that tendency to maintain the status quo can really be short-sighted because it ignores the value and benefit that competitive sourcing really provides. To put it bluntly, without an RFP, you're going to leave significant amounts of money on the table, and you'll also reduce your leverage in terms of making changes or improvements that you might really need for the services that you have or the deal structure that they're under.
All right, so Mark, presumably you're also a supporter of regular competitive procurements. But what are the hard benefits of an RFP?
Hi, Chair. Yes, I am a big supporter of regular competitive procurements. And before I get into the hard benefits, it's really worth looking at the background as to what incumbent suppliers are incented to do. They're incented to maintain the status quo, because with the status quo, their margins are at the highest. Further to that, then they're really looking to upsell new services, which don't cannibalize their existing service base. They don't want price down, giving you more for the same or more for less. They don't want to accelerate technologies that erode their existing services, for example. Suppliers actually need real encouragement to embrace the requirement for regular and beneficial review of what they're offering and change what they provide. The RFP is absolutely the best way to do this. RFPs help drive three real key benefits. First, an enforced review within a robust, structured RFP process helps secure what the market is offering and what the suppliers are providing to other enterprises. It won't surprise you to hear the phrase, how many times has an account team spoken to you and said, this is the best pricing we can offer, when actually it turns out that it isn't. And we hear this all the time. Or they say, we can't provide that service, or we can't provide that service in that particular way, when actually they can. An RFP will help you drive the outcomes in that way. Secondly, RFPs are excellent tools as a catalyst for change, especially with the rapid evolution of technology that we're experiencing today, and particularly in the networking space. They can help drive that technology change, cutting through some of the inertia that might be associated with suppliers protecting their existing service offerings. For some technologies, it's absolutely true that you would be foolhardy just to rely on what your incumbent provider can offer. Is that going to be the best solution for you to meet your needs? How do you get focused supplier attention on moving forward with the technology? And also, is it a fair price? And in fact, without shopping or testing a market in an open procurement process, we found that transformational technology changes, low market pricing, as well as operational performance contraction improvements are much, much harder to obtain. Incidentally, an RFP can help secure implementation of such change at lower cost and with better support. And often you can find that actually it will reduce the implementation costs as well. Lastly, and I think really equally important and often gets neglected by enterprises, is that having regular RFPs is much healthier for the strategic sourcing environment. If you have a track record of never changing suppliers, you're actually storing up trouble. You will potentially see complacency creeping in with your incumbents. And aside from the 20, 30% or more premium on total cost you might be paying that can be left on the table, energy can seep out of the relationship. Non-incumbents will find it harder and harder to positively qualify the opportunities that you might offer them and actually bid for your RFPs if you haven't changed your supplier for 10 years. No one wants to be held to ransom in this sort of situation through lack of credible alternatives. And it's surprising how often enterprises can slip into never changing suppliers and wonder why it's then difficult to do so when they really want to or need to.
Yeah, another thing I just wanted to mention along those lines, your current suppliers always want to move up the value chain to other services like managed equipment and cloud offerings and security offers, et cetera. Whatever their management is incented that year, you know, as most strategic or profitable to the company. But if those services are something that you really need, then a competitive evaluation is the only way to truly inform you of the market offer at that time at an optimal cost. So pricing down their base or making concessions on terms, like Mark mentioned before, are non-starters without competitive pressure. So you often get this sell-up conversation from your account team. They're really only focused on selling you what the value-added service of the year is, but you find typically it's very difficult for them to concentrate on the real focus of your business as usual services, your legacy service that they've already put in the ground.
All right, so, but Mark, I mean, won't incumbent suppliers just see an RFP as a threat and do what they can to avoid one?
Absolutely, they will not do. Doing an RFP translates into higher prices over time for them, Joe, or it can mean an extension to their potentially substantial revenue stream. So why would they want to do it? You know, why would they not resist their businesses too? However, the best suppliers, and this is quite important, should not see an RFP only as a threat. They should expect regular competitive activities. The nature of network services is such that most customers have multiple suppliers around the globe who span various disciplines, from technology manufacturers to value-added resellers to carriers to cloud providers to service integrators and beyond. So most of your incumbents in their various disciplines will also see opportunity elsewhere. The need to expand your infrastructure into these areas gives those incumbents the opportunities they are looking for. They're highly motivated to grow their revenue, so they should be eager to compete as effectively as possible. And really, they shouldn't be able to turn around and say they don't want to do it on their area when that's happened. And really importantly for you as the enterprise, and it's you as the enterprise that really has to look after yourselves here, is to see what's new in the market. You can't just rely on what has been there before with your range of incumbents. And it really is important sometimes to go out and see who's providing a disruptive threat. If you just look back at things like aggregators and different SD-WAN providers, you can see why you need to go out and test the market. Once you've decided to run an RFP, getting back to your question there as to would incumbents resist, if your suppliers are really not keen to participate, then I would certainly see that as a big red flag for that supplier. And of course, non-incumbents, when presented with such a genuine opportunity, should be even more eager to participate.
I agree. Yeah, speaking of non-incumbents, a couple of key points about that. If you're an enterprise customer, your greatest success will come if you're genuinely open to change. And if you are, you have to ensure that your RFP is timed in such a way that you can change. That doesn't mean you're looking for change at any cost, but an RFP shouldn't just be lip service to potential change or just a way to get a benchmark in the market as a convenience. Incumbents and non-incumbents both can spot that kind of situation when it's the case, and there's a risk that the process just doesn't work the way that you would wanted it to. So here at TC2, one of our passions is helping to ensure that there are not only credible suppliers in the mix, but the customers that we work with keep themselves in a good position to make a change so that they can get the maximum out of the process if they're going to invest in it. In addition, there are a lot of new entrants these days and niche suppliers who are providing credible alternatives to the established legacy global providers. And the offer of real new business to those suppliers is the best way to engage with them. Like Mark mentioned, with the SD-WANs, the aggregators in the market, the pace of change is accelerating, and these new suppliers are offering what we would call disruptive types of technologies, which frankly we think will become mainstream, and this is creating price erosion in the legacy services market. So the only way to take full advantage of this is to engage the ever-evolving market in a formal process, an RFP process. It can also drive a step change in the legacy terms and pricing already in the ground, much more so than you could ever get with an interim rate review or a contract extension.
All right, so can the two of you please tell me a little more about the benefits that regular RFPs can deliver for an enterprise's strategic sourcing effort?
Yeah, let me start. Demonstrating to the supplier community that you are willing to change is extremely powerful. Now, we all know not all RFPs result in supplier migrations or transitions, but publishing an RFP should signal that you are prepared to make that sort of change. If you do that, it keeps your incumbents honest and reduces the risk that they will, as I mentioned earlier, become complacent with the relationship. It also, again, as Pat has covered a couple of times, it also keeps non-incumbents engaged if they have a real opportunity to earn new business over time. Probably worth pointing out actually that an RFP to have an impact like this doesn't have to be all or nothing. It can be used to blood new suppliers for part of the service mix. And this is actually an extremely effective tactic for generating ongoing price and performance competitive tension between your supplier mix. And with the scale of many of our enterprise customers, having multiple suppliers for similar services can make launching credible RFPs much, much easier.
Yeah, I'll add to that. For some services, like Mark mentioned, like internet transport, which is dedicated to internet access and broadband or business broadband services, savvy enterprises are running RFPs that specifically target an award to multiple partners. So how you position it, its scope and timing differs dependent on the mix, etc., but there can be a lot of variations there. What doesn't vary is that the RFP almost always brings better results than other procurement interventions. Doesn't mean that the RFP is always the best next step, but you should always consider those advantages before ruling one out. Don't regard it as an occasional necessary evil, but rather as a vehicle and a tool that helps you deliver on your core responsibility of providing market-leading technology, performance, and a reduction in the overall cost of ownership of running your infrastructure. RFPs will require an investment, we know that, of time and money, but if it's done properly, our experience shows that the RFP process will return that investment many times over.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you, Pat. Thank you, Mark. And thank you to the listening audience. For our next podcast in the Staying Connected series, I'll be joined by my TC2 colleague, Ben Fox, and LB3's Andrew Brown. And on that podcast, we'll be talking about gaining the advantage in sole source negotiation. And finally, if you'd like to learn more about best practices for competitively sourcing your network infrastructure services, or maybe you'd like to discuss other ICT needs with Pat, with Mark, me, or any of our LB3 and TC2 colleagues, please give us a call or drop us an email. And you can always stay current by checking out our websites or follow us on LinkedIn.